Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American singer and songwriter Hillary Roberts is a phoenix rising from the ashes. After suffering many years of trauma and abuse, Hillary made the decision that she can no longer deal with those demons alone. In 1997, she reached out to a mentor who offered her solutions and a way of life to which she could recover one day at a time. She has been sober ever since. Hillary is not only a trauma survivor, but also survived open-heart surgery after being diagnosed with a very rare congenital heart defect, to which she was only given a 50% chance of success. After the surgery, she lost her voice, but eventually got it back after a year and a half. All of these situations launched her into focusing on a life of giving back and spreading the message of hope wherever she goes. Hillary now dedicates her life and talents to making a positive impact on society through her music. In 2018, she released her debut single, There For You, under her self-owned label, Red Songbird, which charted at number 10 on the Billboard Dance Club chart. She followed that chart success with her second one, with an upbeat rendition of Soul to Soul's Back to Life, which spent 13 weeks on the top 50 chart before claiming number 1 in 2019. Next single releases include Fight to the Other Side, Good Man, and a collaboration with gospel singer Brenda Ellis, Better Than This. Hillary also launched her non-profit Red Songbird Foundation. The foundation aims to help survivors of trauma caused by sexual, physical, and verbal abuse. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Hillary Roberts. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am in Dallas, Texas, and I am doing fabulously.
I've actually never spoken to someone who has been based in Texas, so it's nice to get a hello over the channel waves from your side of the world, so to speak.
Welcome. I'll just say a quick yeehaw. How about that?
I was going to say that, but I thought, am I being stereotypical or should I say it? But you did it for me, so there we go. Hillary, let's rewind. So what age did you think, cool, I want to be in the entertainment music world, creating world, and how did that journey progress to where we are currently today?
Oh my goodness. So I was taken to the show Annie, the play, the musical Annie, at 10 years old, and I wanted to be Annie. And so I started singing and I discovered I had a voice. So I started doing talent shows and auditioning for musical theater and doing all of that as at the beginning of my journey. So then eventually I ended up getting almost everything I auditioned for. And, but then I kind of went down a self-destructive road for a bit, lost my singing voice because I wasn't treating my body with the best care. And then later on got my voice back, started singing again. And I was doing a lot of conferences and different kinds of events, weddings, parties, birthdays, just all kinds of events. But I really wanted to do original music. And so eventually, with some help from some people from the UK who kept encouraging me, who I'm very close to, and other friends here in the States, I ended up meeting with this wonderful Grammy Award winning producer. And that's when things really started changing. And that was in 2017 when I met Damon Sharp.
Are you still doing musical theater or not at all?
I still sing musical theater songs, but no, okay. I'm not doing musical theater now. I haven't done it since I was a kid.
Oh, okay. So your original songs, so from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating that song, what motivates it? What inspires it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Let's unpack Hillary's creative brain.
My music, I always want to have a message with my songs, and it's also been a therapeutic activity for me. It's been cathartic in releasing emotions. And I guess I also didn't state that I also studied opera, and I also sung in in church and I sang gospel music. So that also helped with a lot of my training also. But when I think about a song, for instance, when we wrote the song Good Man, I was thinking about the kind of man that I've always wanted in my life. And I didn't have him at that point. But I called Damon and I said, I want to have this amazing song. And so we started with the idea of the kind of song we wanted. And then we sat down and we started writing this Good Man song. And it was all about the kind of man I wanted. And I thought the kind of man that I also thought was a great representation in the world. So it was about trust and loyalty and a shoulder to cry on, my rock to rely on, et cetera. But they're all different for different reasons. I've done songs like Ringer, which was intentionally misspelled for personal reasons, but I was so angry with that song, and it was about a narcissist, a cheating narcissist, and about being put through the ringer. But many of us have been put through the ringer by bad friendships, certain family members, whatever. But everybody knows about being put through the ringer. So yeah.
So when you decide to spell it incorrectly, do you get people, the grammar people coming to say, no, that's not how you spell it. You're supposed to spell it like this. Do you get a lot of those?
Actually, I've only had one person do
Oh,
it,
no.
and only one. But looking back, I kind of wish I would have spelled it correctly, but at the time, it referred in a way that I can't particularly say publicly to the person that I was speaking about. So,
Absolutely. No,
yeah.
so now let's dive into this latest single, the Better Than This, for the Black History Month. So how did that
Yes.
song come to be? How did the collaboration with Brenda happen?
Oh my gosh. So Brenda Ellis sings at one of the largest African American churches. But I met her when they had asked me to sing at their church, and she has traveled the entire world with Bishop Jakes. And I met her at the rehearsal. Can I reword that part about the legal aspect of Ringer? Okay, so I'd like to just say that. Okay, so I'd like to just say on the Ringer song that it was really, somebody can be a dead ringer for something beautiful, but they're not. They're that wolf in sheep's clothing. That was another idea with it. So, not a lot of people have, but putting me through the ringer is the with the W, and the R is correct if they're a dead ringer to something that is not, basically. A dead ringer to something that is authentic. So there you go. There's my story. I'm sticking to it. Okay. I met Brenda Ellis when I walked into the church to do this rehearsal with Brenda. She basically said, "Come here, baby." And she just put her arm around me and she started showing me all the parts. And she's been a wonderful friend of mine for years. And one day I had racism with my own grandfather where he wouldn't let my biracial cousin, who was a baby, into the house in the middle of a snowstorm in Pennsylvania. And it really affected me because I loved my cousin. And I actually, ha and then my aunt got married and had another baby who happens to be biracial. And they're two beautiful young men. And later on, I confronted my grandfather about it when he said he was trying to get to know God more. And I said, "How can you say that you know God more if you won't even love your own flesh and blood because of the melanin in their skin?" And he was talking about in his day, blah, blah, blah. I said, "Well, it's not your day anymore, Granddad. And let me just tell you, these two young men are just amazing, and you're missing out. And I, who have been through so many things and acted out in so many ways, don't deserve the love. They do. If anybody doesn't deserve the love, it's me." But I was thinking about the atrocities of hate that were happening in the world still because of racism and in our own country even. And I told Brenda, I said, there's not, I said, I have this amazing idea where it would be that, not the people that have violated most of the time will not give an apology. They feel justified. And I said, but if there's with the apology, I wanted to say, let the apology come from me. And I said, you can do a call for forgiveness, which I have no right to ask for. And I said, I think we should write this song. And so I called Jermaine, Leighton, who's this incredible musician that Brenda introduced me to before, and Damon Sharp. And we all got together here at my house and we wrote this song, Better Than This. And it was an amazing experience. And I just believe in it so much because it doesn't just address the hate of racism. It's any kind of hate. I mean, we can look at the stuff happening, across the world where people are divided.
I get like this because, you would have thought by now, humans have been around for I don't know how many thousands of years. And you would have thought by now we would have learned the lesson of stop killing each other over differences because you look like that or you love this person or you read that book. And yet they're still doing it.
But, it's interesting. We what can I do? And so there's so many things I'm powerless over in this world. But what can I do in my little world here, in my little hula hoop? How can I be a lighthouse? How can I make a difference? And you honoring this song and us talking about all of this, it gives light again to a subject for people to say, wait a minute, when have I been hateful? Oh, how can I make amends for this? How can I make a change? How can I go out and make a difference? And I've seen people, my grandfather later on invited those cousins to that reunion. To the family reunion and then get to the second one. I wish he would have done more, but he did more than he would have had I not called him to the mat. Yeah. So how can we hold each other accountable and bring more of that element of healing and love in the world so that we have a higher level of consciousness in this world, which we are, it seems that we are doing slowly, ever so snail slowly, but you have the power to make a difference. I have the power to make a difference. It still hurts both our hearts, obviously, for the atrocities that happen.
So you release the song. What's next? What's coming up?
Oh, my goodness. We have this song coming out that we wrote with Justin Tranter, who was just nominated for Songwriter of the Year for Grammys. Yes. And it's called Never Too Late. And it is about making the rest of our life the best of our life. Okay. And yeah, and it's a fun upbeat song, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy it because that's what my life has been for so long, because of the paths that I went down and the destructive ways that I lived for a while, and I really was feeling unworthy of doing anything good in my life, and I felt like my life was over when I started stepping into action. And doing the next right thing, no matter what I believed or didn't believe, and the people that encouraged me to do my music and make a difference, that I wanted to do more and do more. So that it's to let people, especially after the pandemic, it's not too late. You can go and do something new. Because a lot of people are still affected by that. Yeah. So it's never too late. You look at these people that there's a woman that's a bodybuilder online and she started training in her 70s. There's another gal in her 80s that it's just all these people doing amazing things. And to no matter how we feel, to bring the body and the mind will follow.
I'll touch on that in a moment. So when is this? Do you have a date or release for this next song or is it still hush-hush?
Not yet. But we're hoping it to be a summer release.
Oh, okay, lovely. I can't wait to hear that. But yeah, just to divert back to what you're saying, absolutely. So many people attach their bodies to an age which does not exist. And it's a societal thing that they attach as well. So means they, this age means they can't do this anymore, or they can't do that, or they shouldn't be doing this because they're that age. And it's all a whole load of nonsense. You can do anything you want at any age. You can try anything new. You can experience anything new, embrace new things. Doesn't mean that this age means you can't do certain things. And I think a lot of people attach themselves to that and it becomes a crutch for them, which is their journey and their path, understandably. It does frustrate me a little bit because I hear people saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing this because you're that age, or I can't do that. I'm like, my sentence to them is always, you're as old as you want to be.
You asked about my birthday. So for years, I lied to people that I met in the business. At 25, I was told I was too old. I was told that, so I believed it. Yes. And I would pretend that I was 10 years younger than I was. I wasn't honest about it. But then after I went through a huge health thing, I had open heart surgery, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. When I survived that, I said, I'm done lying. I'm done being ashamed. And tomorrow I'm going to be 55 and I'm still doing music.
So for the listeners, I thought you were like,
35 or 30. So your energy is not attached to that number. So that it doesn't matter.
And you know, and I love it. You know, we're releasing, I was racing McLarens and we're releasing a video that says I can't drive 55 by saying Sammy Hagar, because I refuse. I refuse. As long as I can do things in this world, I'm going to enjoy myself.
Exactly.
If my body slows down, then I'm going to use my cane, honey, and I'm going to be dancing on the dance floor with my cane. All right.
I love that. But yeah, it's interesting. So I was reading, and it's still very much so. I was read an article a couple of weeks ago, or last year, in fact, where certain radio station in a certain country, not your country, if a female, and they mentioned female specifically, I don't know why only it's related to female. If a female artist is over the age of 30, they won't play their music because they consider them to be has-beens. I'm like, what? What nonsense is that? I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. But let's focus on positive and interesting things. So you mentioned that you trained in opera. How is opera different to singing other genres?
Well, opera, it's kind of like a dancer that takes ballet. If they take ballet, they can do everything else. Every other kind of dancing, they do it better because of the technique, and they learn to control their bodies. Opera helped me to learn to control my voice, because I lost my voice when I was singing incorrectly also a different time. And it taught me how to hold my voice. It taught me how to hit super high notes. It trained me that I can sing any style. Like when you hear, do you remember like the heavy metal back in the day, like Sebastian Bach and all that? Like that, they were trained operatically. And so like if you listen to Mariah Carey, Mariah Carey's mother was an opera singer, and she also trained in the gospel church. She takes all those high, high notes, which are what a coloratura opera singer sings normally. That's what they're trained to do with that whistle voice. And so that is part of what came from opera. And of course, the riffs are more with the gospel and stuff, although opera has their own kind of quote-unquote riffs. But it just enables you to do so much more vocally and control it and not have your voice wear out on you.
You mentioned that you were singing incorrectly. So was it incorrectly in that you were, because of the way you're singing, it was allowed to wear out?
Yes, I was singing. A lot of times people, if they don't know how to breathe from their diaphragm and have the placement of the voice, it constricts the voice, the throat, and then those little vocal cords that are these tiny little muscles going against each other. It can cause polyps, which are kind of like blisters on the vocal cords.
Yes.
And then they can turn into nodes, which are like calluses, and then it can completely ruin your voice. Or they do surgery, and then it can ruin your voice with that. So you've heard of singers, like things happening with them, whether they've, you know, been mistreating their bodies or singing incorrectly.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
I love the connection with people. I love giving authentically and honestly and having that moment of sharing the music. Music is a universal language, and it's whether it gets people up on their feet and they're clapping and they're dancing, or you evoke emotion with them. It is almost like a spiritual experience, because you're having this human connection with people and they are in it with you. It's just this amazing connection. And I absolutely love it. I just love it.
So I've got a point of discussion around this. I'm that guy that's
come on. I'm ready for it.
That's right up in front, jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two shots, one or two videos, and I put my cell phone away. I do notice that a lot of people around me take their phones out and have it for a lot of period of time, maybe 60-70% of the time. Do you not feel that maybe that the cell phone or that digital thing, in inverted commas, takes away from the energy and connection and emotion you're referring to, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Okay, and are you talking about taking out your phone and shooting footage, or are you talking about taking out your phone? Okay.
So shooting footage, and also, like, because now they've shot the footage, they want to post it and tweet it and Instagram it quickly instead of being there for the experience.
So my team is always like, you need to be doing more. because I love having the connection with people. I mean, yeah. I'm sober a long time, so I help a lot of sober people. I have a foundation and I help a lot of people with trauma. So, and then of course I'm married and I have that and I have my fur babies, my puppies. So I love experiencing life.
Yes.
So I have to make myself put the things up a lot. You know, for me, when I first started posting, I felt like I was being very narcissistic and they're like, no, this is what you do. And so I had to learn to do it. So for me, I want to enjoy those moments. And, I think when I was really into it before I started dating my husband, I noticed that I had really gotten more into being on my phone a lot. It was more of me just being on my phone. And so yes. Now I take time and I put my phone away. I have special times that I have to say, okay, I'm going to post this many times a week. I have to structure it. I think I love some of the things we learn online or the talents we see, but if we're using it as an addiction, it's not a good thing.
Yes.
And a lot, my husband is so not into all that. Like he'll post some things sometimes, but he's like, everything doesn't have to be an Instagram moment. Let's just enjoy this moment for ourselves. How about that? And I'm like, oh yes, you're so right, my beloved. And so, yes, I think, you know, the escape, it's easy to get caught up in it. And it's important that we balance, you know, it's here, but how can I balance? How can I enjoy the reality of life? I don't have to do show and tell every day. That's what reminds me of when you're in class as a kid and it's show and tell day. I don't have to have show and tell every single moment.
Yes, exactly.
That I can just experience my friendships, my love, my life, and not everything needs to be recorded. So,
and then from the perspective of when you're performing live and you see a lot of people mm-hmm. in the audience filming you and doing that kind of stuff, do you take it as them doing more work for you in the sense that they're posting stuff about you? Does it bother you that?
No, I'm honored. And you know, my school of thought, Barrett, is, you know, everybody, you know, I'm honored if they want to film me. I'm honored. And I want, if it makes them happy to do that, I'm honored they want to post it and share it. I hope that they're having just as a good of time holding the camera as without. So I just, I'm definitely less of a criticizer because everybody has their journey.
Yeah.
But if they're loving it and they want to post it and they're excited and proud about it, I'm like, thank you. Like I'm honored.
Okay. Got that. So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month for me. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for all the hard work you do. I love the journey of unwrapping it, having the pictures, the booklets, the thank yous. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, and cassettes are making a massive comeback, even cassettes. Vinyls in the UK alone last year had 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. CDs on upward trajectory again, and cassettes.
And oh, I love it.
And interesting enough, it's not the older people, inverted commas. It's the teenagers and late teens and early 20s that are adopting into it. We also have these digital platforms where people consume music on. Your observations and preferences in your world.
I was around before 2001 when everything changed in the music industry. And for me, I think it's whatever version we use. I think it's so important that the artists, the songwriters, the people pouring their hearts into the music earn their keep. Mm. And that's the thing that I'm most concerned about. Now, I love having a CD also. And you know, this whole thing of streaming, and I've had to get used to it. And I'm grateful for all the streams. I do like the CD aspect. No matter what way people get the songs, I just want the songwriters, the artists, the producers, everybody to be able to get paid, because many people will take a song and take it. And they don't understand all the lessons that were taken to get there, the money that was spent to make the song. I mean, that this is people's livelihood. And so it's just, and I think a lot of people are respecting that more and more now. And I love the fact with vinyls just bring back a whole nother realm of things. You know, that's, I mean, I remember playing little 45s of different songs on my little record player. So I of course I love that. It's tangible. You can touch it. You can read it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not
Okay.
saying favorites, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to
Okay.
play five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Oh.
Your face.
Well, I can tell you, if I was locked on an island and I only had one record to listen to, it would probably be Stevie Wonder
Okay.
because he's so amazing. He's so different. So if you gave me one record, but that's not the question you asked, but that's the answer. I'm the first one I'm giving you. So it would be Stevie Wonder. Lately I have had the strangest feeling. Why is my brain in, anyway? It's a wonderful song. It's called Lately. Duh, Lately. So Lately and any other funk song by him, he's just unreal. Number two, wow. Minnie Riperton, Loving You. I love that song. Number three would be, gosh.
If you can't think of a specific song, then maybe just three other artists.
Yeah, okay. So I'll say, I love Celine Dion. I love Sade. And then there's a lot of current artists I love. So it's just, this is so hard for me. I love, but I have the utmost respect. My most respect is for, opera singers have to train 8 years before they can ever perform in an opera. So they have to train their voices. So I would probably pick Joan Sutherland as an opera singer. But there's so many people these days, Adele, Ed Sheeran, Hillary. Yeah, I'm all myself. No, I know. I'm saying Hillary because I can't remember. No. Bruno Mars. I mean, come on. And then, of course, I used to love Prince and Michael Jackson. I mean, I could just go down. And then there's rock and roll artists that don't even get me started, like Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Ella Fitzgerald. I mean,
That's
I'm
why
just,
we
I take me, there's
down
so
a rabbit
many.
hole.
It's what I do. Yes. I love my rabbit holes. I just asked my husband.
So, Hillary, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Wherever you are in the world, whatever struggles you're dealing with, just know this too shall pass. And use those songs, use that music to get you through it. And try to look for the things that you can be grateful for today. Because there's so many things, and let the music help you cry it out, laugh it out, dance it out, and let's walk with each other shoulder to shoulder through this journey of life, because we need each other. And just find the places where the love is, find the places that encourage you, find the people that encourage you, and most of all, be good to yourselves, be good to you, be your own best friend.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.